that someone told me that a 400-pound man was sitting in the corner of a restaurant, and he finished two burgers, and then he went up and got two more burgers, and he was enjoying his burgers. And over in the other corner sat a tiny little girl, and she was getting angrier and angrier. And when he went back to get his third set of burgers, I believe the story goes, she went into his face, "You just ate a cow!" She was a vegetarian, of course, but she had other things. The issue was, the point I'm making, which is needs to be unpacked, it takes a lot of burgers to feed a big cow. I mean, it takes a lot of burgers to feed a 400-pound man, that's what I meant to say. It takes a lot of burgers to feed a 400-pound man, and there's some drawbacks happen, you know. So I really do care about growth, and so that's enough for that. We need to be keeping to thinking about that. And when I look out over the congregation, I'm glad for each of us, but it takes a lot of burgers to feed a 400-pound man, and not all of them are healthy. And I was thinking about some of those concepts this morning as we were going around and around some of these volatile subjects, and my subject this morning is volatile. We had a little birthday party, very simple birthday party with along that line with our granddaughter. This week she's 10 years old. She had her 10th birthday, and the cake said 10 on it. And I looked at her, and she said, I said, "You know what, Jennifer, in 10 years you'll be a mama." And then my daughter-in-law jerked pretty seriously there. She didn't say anything, but it's true. So you can think about that. Time keeps moving along, doesn't it? So greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I am glad to be here. And those things I'm saying might sound critical. I'm not trying to be critical. I just want us to keep thinking. I've been gone for church activities. Our November started sometime early October, I think. And I think we're about past it now. But started here with Brother Lyndon Burkholder having the message on the church. And I still haven't finished unpacking all the things that he introduced there, but that's sort of when our November started. And then went from there to Idaho for communion and back, and I believe communion here, and then Cornerstone Bible Conference, and over to New York City for ordination and back, and then over to Pine Creek for ordination and so forth. So that's sort of been our November. And then this past week, I'm trying to be transparent, this past week we were not doing church work, we were doing personal work. We were away for one whole week. We left last Monday, came back last evening about 5 o'clock, doing some personal work, but we were in the little Idaho church, and we did spend some time there in church personal work, but not weren't there really for church work. We were there for personal work. And I'm just trying to be transparent with you what was happening. We spent all last week in personal work, and something makes me feel just a little bit wrong about that, because maybe it's the first we've done that for a long, long time, but we did. And I'm trying to be open. We were away last week, and we were gone all week, and got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My wife is still believes in good work ethics. So we got up at 4 o'clock every morning and worked late on a little project there we're working on. So maybe this morning as I preach, you might hear some things coming out here and there. The Delta pilot said when we landed in Salt Lake City on Monday afternoon, he signed off with these words, and I don't know if he was a religious man or not. He said, "Remember to be kind to each other." And I didn't get that all done last week. I was kind to myself most of the week, as far as I know. I don't remember hurting myself very much, but I don't know if I was kind to everyone else. And I've thought about those pilot's words a lot. Remember to be kind to each other. And so I don't have very much this morning. Brother Vernon asked me if I was going to preach a double, and I said, no, not this morning, and I'm not going to. Don't have a plan to do that. I don't have very much for you this morning, but let me give it to you this way. What I have to share with you, I think, is ready to eat. You know what I mean by that? I think you can just take it and eat it. So it's not long theological deep things, but I think that you can eat it. And you all know that I seldom, if ever, gear my messages to American holidays because I've been opposed to it because of the emptiness of American holidays and global holidays. I've generally been opposed to that. But later on, you're going to hear me give a point that supports it. So that's a little strange. So I generally don't gear my messages to American holidays because they're so cheap and worthless for present realities. Let me give it to you this way. Things that happen to people and made deep, very heavy issues in their life, sometimes they've come out in holidays. Of course, that's true of the Thanksgiving holiday. But now, years later, they're worthless and cheap. They don't mean very much. They become a holiday. And yet, that's the way people are. And we're humans, and that's going to be one of my points, too. It's just true. So that's maybe not as wrong as it might appear. I have maybe about three titles this morning. The first one probably is the traditional one that we should be used. It comes from the text, and you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I know we should stay on script. We shouldn't get too far out away from. So the title probably should be from the text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything give thanks. But then I have a title, so maybe you will remember more. And that title is something like this, Safety Change for Thanksgiving. Or maybe A Truck Over the Cliff. And I'll explain that in just a little. But Thanksgiving has become very vain in my opinion. It simply means turkeys and get together with family, and it used to be the beginning of Christmas holidays, but now we went past that. I think I started seeing Christmas trimmings maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I'm not sure. To me that's ridiculous, but my mind's pretty old and I don't have a me generation mind, so maybe it's just change. Thanksgiving used to be the beginning of you know, holidays. Well, here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything give thanks. Now, you might be interested to know that I got stopped for speeding this week. Traveling back and forth between Logan and Preston, Lewiston, Idaho, Lewiston, Utah is just a nice straight stretch for about 20 miles, and it's country, and it's western country, and you just travel along, and I was not trying to disobey. I didn't think I was. It was in somebody else's pickup. You know how you kind of get that feel about how fast you're going? I was just riding along, I thought, until I saw this officer coming this way, and he turned around and turned his lights on, and I have a citation to pay. Because when you come into the little pup towns, I call them, you're supposed to slow down. And there was a speed limit sign there, and I didn't even notice it. I was talking to my wife, and I think we'd stopped and were about ready to stop and eat a burger. So that happened to me. My point is, am I supposed to give thanks for that? Yeah. Because I went back and forth between that town about 10 or 12 more times that week, and guess what? I went to Richmond 45 instead of 70. Yeah. So, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See? And this is an interesting little list here. I think I'll just read them because it's interesting here in Thessalonians. Paul first talks about church growth, and he thanks the Lord about the growth of the church at Thessalonica. He really did. He commended them for it. And he said that the church growth, the example that was going out from the church growth in chapter 1 was going out into all around. And it's going out and people are knowing about this church at Thessalonica. And he talked about that. And then he talked a little bit about himself and how he was part of that in chapter 2. He gets real personal kind of. And there were some issues going on, and he said that Satan was hindering him for that. And then in chapter 3, he delegated Timothy. He gave Timothy work there to do because he couldn't get it all accomplished himself, and he gave work. I believe that's the should be the vision for every church leader to work himself out of a job and give or work to others and keep on growing it. I think that should be our vision. I think it should be Vernon and Jason and Titus's vision. I think that should be the vision for every minister leader to ordain other elders to keep following work, and then they keep on expanding. And I think that should be our vision. That's what Paul was doing here. And then in chapter 4, we have the classic chapter 4 there, and he talks about practical life value in chapter 4, and then he goes on into the end and talks about the coming of the Lord all the way through 5, and then we're at verse 12. And he just gives this punch list. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We exhort you, brethren, and warn them unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Be kind to one another, the pilot said. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not Vernon's preaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So he has this punch list, we call it. Checklist, quickly. And so I want to do maybe similar. I just want to break out verse 18 here. And since Thanksgiving holiday is upon us, I want to speak some things about it. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I want to begin with a story, because stories help us to remember things. And this story is a true story. It's not a fib. It's not something that was in CNN News, although it probably was at the time. This is a story that one of my friends told me. In this case, Brother Shannon Neuswanger, I believe in the second message that he preached, he gave this story, and he was, I don't know if he was eyewitness to it, but at least he was an event witness, because it happened close to where he'd lived, and he knew about it. So my point is, it's not some fabrication. You might think it is, until I get finished telling it, but it's not fabricated. It's true. It wasn't fabricated by CNN. His brother told it. He saw it firsthand, I believe, correct? And happened west here, 2,500 miles or more, On Interstate 84, Interstate 84 travels from Boise all the way to Portland. That's on the West Coast. That's a long ways from here, but that's where it happened. And it did happen. And I'm using the story for a very different reason than he was using it. He used it very well in his to make his point. And I'm using it here this morning in connection with verse 18, "In everything give thanks," because I think maybe it can give us a picture of the main, one of the main points I want us to eat this morning. And I did work this week with Brother Shannon Iswanger and Justin Ocker all week. They work for Lawson, a little project we're working at out there. And like I mentioned, we're traveling back and forth to Logan, which is about 25 miles, trying to get supplies and doing other things. And as I mentioned, I got stopped. So, but this story Shannon told, and he was using it, talking about faith and works, how that faith and works go together. He was telling this story that happened on I-84, somewhere just west of Boise, Idaho. A man and his wife were traveling, and I don't know the details about whether they were far from home or not, but the incident was ended up noted as distracted driving is what made it happen. But here's the story. He was pulling a camper trailer, and they were traveling, I don't know if east or west, but they were traveling, and there was a long bridge that went out over a deep gorge there in that area. And the bridge had a sidewall on it, of course, and due to distracted driving, the truck went and camper trailer went over the bridge. This truck went out over the embankment, over the bridge, and the hitch unhitched or broke off, however that was, and this truck was hanging over the bridge, and all that was holding it was the safety chains. Now, young man, the story doesn't include whether this was a Ram or a Ford or a Chevy or a Tundra. Because guess what? I don't think at that moment it mattered. And I don't think that this gentleman was thinking very much about that. But there he hung, him and his wife, until they got rescue equipment there and were able to save him from that. So we're talking about in everything give thanks here this morning. And one question I have for us, and then I'll go on and we'll come back to it a little bit. Do you think there'll ever be a day in that man and woman's life that they will forget that? In other words, they might be getting up in the morning and kind of forget that that really happened to them. Do you think there's that possibility? I'll come back to that in a little wee bit. I'm going to give you the answer, yes. So you see, there's a real reason that Paul wrote this, and it's a reason that we should read it once in a while, and maybe there's a reason to have Thanksgiving holiday, to just remind us of things, see? Because that's the way we are as humans, right? We forget. And so I want to make a few points on this, because true Thanksgiving in my life, and I'm going to just submit to you that we're all pretty much like this, it's elusive. You know what elusive means? something that it's elusive is just always slipping out of our hands. It just always slipping away. Doesn't mean we have lost it, but it means that we're always close to losing it. And a thankful heart and a grateful heart is always elusive. It's just always almost ready to lose it. So there they hung. Like I said, we don't know what make it was. It probably mattered before that to the man. Maybe it did. I suppose it did. We don't know that part of the story. But I don't think while they hung there that it mattered. I don't think it mattered at all. And life is something like that. One of the reasons that Thanksgiving, a thankful heart, eludes us or is elusive in nature is that we are humans and we are people. And having a grateful heart quickly can get away from me. It just can happen because it does. Keep slipping away. And so as humans, we must continue to be brought back over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over because I forget. Let's use, for instance, I remember here one time I had school devotions from Luke chapter, what is it? I don't know which chapter it is, or else it's Mark. But it's a story about the man who was lame for 38 years. 38 years he lay beside that pool, and then one day Jesus came along and healed him. And he got up and ran and jumped and praised. But do you think there was ever a day that he got up in the morning and was busy drywalling or what else he was doing and forgot that he had lain there for 38 years? And the answer is yes. See, it's elusive. Think about the 10 lepers. Let's just go there and read that. It's in Luke chapter, 17? It's in Luke chapter 17. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. Came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that turn to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And there is a point here about him being a Samaritan. I think there is. But we'll go on right now and maybe come back to that. But I'm using that illustration. I'm using Paul and Silas. I'm using Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm using the children of Israel. They got through the Red Sea, you know, and salvation came there. And then we criticize them because they complained. I'm still making the point that true thanksgiving is elusive in nature. It just really is. And my next point follows right after that. Not only is it elusive, but true thanksgiving, and I think I found those words in the scriptures. Let's see. I thought I had it written down here in my notes, but I don't. But many, many times it talks about thanks, like thanks offerings, thanksgiving, and thanks, at least over 170 sometimes, I believe, if I am correct. And you have Noah, you know, when he come out of the flood. And it says, the Bible says he came out, and it just says he built an altar. But we must conclude that altar meant something. He's very thankful. And that leads me right into my next point. It's elusive, but it's elusive because true thanksgiving must come from my heart and not feeling, and our Western culture has reversed that. And by nature, we reverse that. In other words, it's an attitude in my heart that's coming out and responding in my emotions, not the other way around. We get it confused because if someone gives us something nice or we receive something nice, then we have a good feeling, we have a nice warm feeling, and we give thanks for that. But how do you give thanks when we didn't, see? When things went the wrong way, and Paul says, in everything give thanks. Well, when the heart is transformed, then there's going to be thanks come for whatever happens, even if it's reversed. But we've been taught, or we think, in Western culture, that receiving makes thanks easy, and it is true. So we're really wrestling with a big issue here, but it's about our heart and a transformed heart that receives whatever God gives us. And that way, if it's less instead of more, it's still thanksgiving for it. Now, we all know that that's easier preached than lived. But the attitude inside of our heart, and if our heart is, and when our heart is truly transformed, then we'll see thanks in everything because we can learn something from it. We can receive something from it. God can do something in it. And so, you know, we it's easy to get this confused, but it's an attitude that comes out of our heart. And then even if it's less instead of more, then I still thank the Lord for that. Last evening, a kind driver, we were waiting for the Microtel. We always park off-site when we travel because it's less money. And we parked off-site, and I tried some 15 times to get a hold of the motel to tell them to come pick me up. And either their phone, I think probably had phone issues because it would just ring once and that was it. So we were standing in BWI trying to get back to our car so we could come up here and enjoy the fellowship and the Thanksgiving things that the young people were doing. We wanted to come here if we could get here in time for that. And so after about a half an hour waiting, a kind gentleman who was picking up somebody else asked me, or a little bit of conversation, he said, well, I'm going over that motel. I just get in. I'll take you over there. So we did. Very kind man. And then when we got out of the car, he said, are you a Mennonite? I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I appreciate the simple lifestyle that you people live. He said, don't give it up. He said, because I just really appreciate how simple you live. And he said, that really is the way to live, and the way we live is not. And then I was kind of shocked because I don't know how simple I really do live. See? And I gave him a nice tip. And I was struck by his thought. I appreciate you people. You live simple, he said. And I think there's a sense where we probably do in many ways live simple, but he thought that we were living simpler than he was living. I'm talking about the feelings that we have, the way that affluence, and that's my next point that moves right out of this. It's called entitlement. We live in a society that has taught us, and we have taken this in, and it poisons us some, and that is that we are entitled. It's an entitlement attitude that life owes me something, and that it's what's happening in the social world, the social political agenda that's coming on, that life owes me something. Entitled to it. I think it's close to our subject this morning that we were wrestling with in the Sunday school classes, because before we had so much affluence, credit, which is the same as borrowing money, has all kinds of aspects. Credit, in years gone by and in the biblical principle, was always considered a curse. Now, I'm not saying borrowing money is always a curse. It might be, but that's not what I'm teaching. What I'm teaching is that credit is not a blessing, it's a curse. But we have been taught or now believe that credit or borrowing is a blessing. And that's got us in a lot of trouble. And if the economy does not continue, it could get us in a lot more trouble. I think that's what Brother Joe was referring to in our Sunday school class this morning. And it's all wrapped up in this thing that we are entitled to things. Guess what? The fact that we got up this morning and opened our eyes and had a right mind and our health and our strength is more than we deserve. But our mentality is that we're entitled to life, we're entitled to benefits, we're entitled to insurance, we're entitled to payback, we're entitled to a wage, we're entitled to everything. We're not really. See? And here he hangs over the cliff. And when I suddenly realize in life that I'm really not entitled to anything, and that the grace and blessing and mercy of God has rescued me, then we are closer to true thanksgiving than we were before. And this is something that's always elusive to me. Is it elusive to you? Yeah, it's always elusive to us. So I'm just giving you my last point before we even get there. It's a daily choice too. It's a daily choice, see? And here hangs this guy over this cliff, him and his wife. It'd been interesting to hear what they were talking about, hanging there, that cliff, waiting till the rescue squad got there. Probably, I guess, standing on the dash. I don't know, but yeah, you see, I guess they were pretty much at the mercy of somebody else about right then, right? I didn't have parachute in there. They weren't jumping out. I understand this was about a 100-foot cliff, 100-foot ravine. Entitlement. And it's all around us, and it really can poison our real thanksgiving, because when we believe that we're entitled to something and we don't receive it, then the response is not to give thanks for that situation, right? I did thank that officer. That was the better part of me. I thanked him for, number one, reducing my citation amount, and secondly, that he was patrolling the roads, because I think that's what he was called to do. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ. But when we believe or are influenced by entitlement, then that's going to really slip away from us. If we really believe that we're entitled to something, then, and that's a whole package there. I won't go in deeper than that, because you know what I mean. But true thanksgiving does not come from receiving something or having something, and it's not just a warm feeling. The true thanksgiving is an attitude of our heart, and out of that comes the feelings. Feelings are not wrong, but it's not the other way around. That's more is not necessarily true thanksgiving, and more on top of what I already have, and more warm feelings. No. A heart that knows that it's hanging here by the chains of, I was going to say fate, but that's not correct, that's not biblical, but there it hung. And I'm sure that he was thankful that he got free, but I still suspect that being truly thankful is so elusive that there probably is a day when he got up and was busy doing other things since that time and forgot that incident, that specific incident. So I'm again admitting that maybe there is reason for holidays. Maybe there is reason for reminders. But I think probably just reading God's word is better. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we have the entitlement thing. And then there's a whole thing that's wrapped in this. My next point is about adversity. See, Thanksgiving Day, the beginnings were men and women who came by water and wind, I guess. I don't know if they came by wind ships or whether power ships, but they came by the water and they got here, and we know the story. And all they got here, and you know, I've had this quite right, but at least they went through a winter where there was death and there was sickness, and children died, and wives died, and husbands died, and brothers died, and sisters died. And it was a hard, cold winter. And there were sad, very sad days. But finally, they got through it. And the warm sun shone. And they went out there, the little girls did, and the big girls, and the mommies, and the daddies. And they got out there with ground between their toes and in their toenails and under their feet. And they worked from morning till night getting some seeds in the ground. And then the pumpkins came up. And they put corn in the ground. And the little came up first a spike, and then it went in two leaves, and then it got four leaves. Glenn, how does it go? And after a while, it gets a tassel, right? And after a while, it pollinates. And after day after day after day, you start to get some grains of corn on it. I have this right, Mr. Farmer? And then after a while, you take a machine in there and you combine it, and it goes out an auger and goes onto the truck, and you call that a harvest. And they were so thankful. It's that story, see? And born out of that. And young people, God bless you. I'm so glad to be part of a church where you're not afraid to invite the bishop to come in here to eat pumpkin pie with you or whatever else we had last night, ice cream and all the good things you fed me. That's wonderful. Except that what was happening there and what was happening last night could easily be far removed. Do you understand my point? How easy, how elusive it is. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a pumpkin pie party. I'm just saying, I might be saying that, but I'm not saying that. It depends, see? It depends, because this is elusive. And day after day, and while we're standing here, I forgot that there are still, I guess, 17 hostages. I forgot that. I've been thinking about it about every day, so here I am. Does it, you get the point? See? And we celebrate Thanksgiving. Now here a little sign. Neat little sign said, come to the Calvary restaurant. Because here we have what all of you had on your agenda last night. What we have is not entitled to us. What we have has been given to us. And God has given us so much. And I think that is why Jesus told that story in Luke. And I don't think his main point was that the man who came back and thanked him for healing him, I don't think his main point was that he was a Samaritan, because Jesus was definitely not a woke racist. Neither was he white supremacist. He wasn't even white himself. He was dark-skinned. He was a colored man. Jesus was. He was a Jew. He was a colored man. He wasn't a white man like you and I. He wasn't definitely not a supremacist, white supremacist. He was not woke. And I don't really think his main point was that this was a Samaritan. It just was that the people that he was speaking to had an entitlement. attitude. They even believed that someone was entitled to get them out of that tundra, if it was a tundra, which didn't matter. And then my last point, which I always gave, see, true Thanksgiving is going to continue to be a choice and a transformed heart. And when a transformed heart and a choice, when a transformed heart and choice meet, out of it's going to come Thanksgiving for getting stopped and getting a citation kind of life, plus whatever's deeper than that. That was not a very big deal, but kind of big, but that's not my point. I'm just trying to use that as an illustration. When a transformed heart and choice meet, what you have is in verse 19 here in chapter 17 of Luke. And he said unto him, arise, Jesus said, go thy way, for your faith has made you whole. And he glorified God. May God bless us in our thanksgiving. We do live in a world which is very poisoned. It's very wrong. There's a war going on. It's just a different war than we're usually accustomed to. And God wants his people to give thanks, just like Noah might have, and just like the people came across the Red Sea, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Daniel that morning, just like all the other Bible stories. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. In Christ Jesus, let's pray.